Hallelujah. Please lift your hands up to the Lord this afternoon. Thank God for an opportunity to be in the house of God together at this time. Father, we are grateful. We're so grateful. Thank you for the message we have just heard, to pray and to pray. Even as your hand is lifted, something is changing in your ministry. Something is changing in your life. Maybe you came here at the crossroads of your ministry and you want to just say, Lord, thank you for meeting me. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we're so grateful. We're so grateful for a time like this. I pray, Lord, that this afternoon your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless you. Take your seat. Hallelujah. I just want to first begin by recognizing all the men of God who are here with us, men of God, women of God. Thank you so much for coming. Hallelujah. Amen. We don't take it lightly. We know how our lives are and the different things pulling us in different ways. So we really appreciate your presence in this place today. Amen. Oh, amen. Hallelujah. Also for those who've traveled from different places, pastors of this house and those coming from the towns around, God bless you so much. I want to believe that the Lord is doing something with us. And this morning, as Bishop Freddie was sharing and as he was speaking, I was saying to myself, Lord, help us to just be honest. Yeah, if we'll just be honest before God and really see where we stand. You know, because we all want to give the impression that, Charlie, I'm a prayer warrior, wild. But it's not always like that. Sometimes, Nkoye, are you with me? And when we are honest and truthful before God, he's able to do something about it. So God bless you, Bishop Fred. Thank you so much. Oh, your clapping this morning is a little... Amen. And hallelujah. I also want us to just salute my husband. I thank him for giving me the permission to move around for the Lord. Amen. Because if he says you can't go, I won't go. But I thank God that he's never forced me to choose between himself and serving the Lord. And I just want to salute him for that. Hallelujah. And of course, this morning we were putting our hands together for Bishop Doug. And I want us to just do that again. Amen. Oh, I said amen. Some of us know that we will never have been where we are doing what we are doing, but for the fact that our paths crossed his. And we salute him for that. Hallelujah. Amen. And if God permits, we will show you at a point the video of somebody far away who has never met him before and who shared how his ministry changed. And the man was calling young people who were standing there saying, my church changed from 200 people to 1,900 in a year. Just from a certain listening and following. Amen. Clearly it is an anointing and it is just there for whosoever will. So we salute him this morning and we thank God for his life. Put your hands together as you take your seat. Amen. Jesus, bright as the morning star.
Jesus,
how can I tell you
how beautiful you are to me.
Jesus,
song
that the angels sing.
Jesus,
dearer to my heart
than anything. You're sweet.
And springtime,
purer
than sunshine, ever my song will be.
Jesus, you're beautiful
to me,
so beautiful.
Oh, to me.
So wonderful, so wonderful.
Oh, I said hallelujah. One of the things about sharing and winning souls is that you fall in love with Jesus. You fall in love with Jesus. When you see the things that he does, and when you see the people that he rescues, you fall in love with him, not only for yourself, but because of what he has done. Hallelujah. Oh, are you with me this morning? And is there life? Is there some life in you? I said, is there some life in you? Yeah, so show that there's some life in you. Amen. Hallelujah. I am a preacher to young people, so pardon me. I'm not used to people just sitting in one place and looking very strict and solemn. So if I don't make you smile, you will intimidate me. I have to make you relax a little bit so that I can also share the word of God. Amen. Listen, turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, don't get old before your time. Don't get old before your time. A time will come, you want to jump, you cannot. You want to run, you cannot. But right now that you can, please let some energy enter into you. Now my sober dodo.
Jesus, you're wonderful.
Please stand to your feet. Let's just love him. Look, you guys with the words, you better do something for us, okay?
So beautiful. So beautiful.
Jesus,
you're beautiful.
Let's take it from the top.
Jesus,
bright as the morning star.
Bright
as the morning star. Jesus.
Jesus,
how can I tell you
how, can I
how beautiful you are to me?
How beautiful you are to me.
Oh, Jesus, song that the angels sing.
Jesus, song that the angels sing.
Jesus, dearer to my heart.
Dearer to
than sunshine,
oh, sweeter than spring,
than springtime, purer than sunshine.
Than sunshine.
Ever my song shall be.
My song will be.
Jesus, you're beautiful to me.
Jesus, you're beautiful to me. So beautiful. So beautiful, Jesus, you're beautiful to me. So beautiful, so beautiful, so beautiful, Jesus, you're beautiful to me.
You know, yesterday some pastors were appointed by Bishop Doug, young pastors, and this morning a picture was sent to me of a sister and a brother who were children in my youth church, and he was being ordained as a reverend and she was being appointed as a pastor, and in between the two of them was standing their mother, who is also a lady pastor in the church. But 25 years ago, that family was struck by a tragedy. They woke up one morning, the father in the house had absconded. And he left because he was in trouble at his work site. And for the next how many years, the family was plunged into difficulty and turbulence. But as I looked at that picture, I said, Jesus, you are beautiful. This woman is a teacher. She had to raise her children. She had to pay their school fees. She had to do everything for them. By the grace of God, they have not become wayward. But rather, she's standing in the middle with her son as a reverend on one side and her daughter as a lady pastor on the other side. I tell you, it's only a beautiful Jesus who can rescue them. Hold on. But that's not the end of her story. About 8 years ago, she wasn't feeling well and she went to the hospital. And they said, you have cancer. Cancer is like a... what should I call it? Yeah. But you see, as she was there, went through the treatment, this, that, whatever, she's cancer free. She's still standing. I said, she's still standing. Because there is a beautiful Jesus. I said, because of what? A beautiful Jesus who has just rescued them. Today, I don't know your situation or what you are struggling with, but let's keep trusting. And that's why this morning we're saying, so beautiful, Jesus, you're beautiful to me. So beautiful, so beautiful. You're beautiful, oh so wonderful, so wonderful, so wonderful, so wonderful, Jesus, you're wonderful, hallelujah. Put your hands together as you take your seat, amen. Well, this morning, I was going to share something else with you, but the Spirit of God is just putting something else on my heart. And so let's go to John chapter 15 and verse 16. This is a scripture we read yesterday. We're going to read it again. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit shall remain, that whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. Hallelujah. The instruction in this, there are three instructions in this scripture. The first one, go. The second one, bring forth fruit. The third one, the fruit shall remain. Three expectations that Jesus has of us. Amen. Are you in the church this morning? Yeah. And this morning, I'm only going to be speaking about the first instruction, which is to go. The Bible is a book that one scripture in it agrees with another scripture in it. So let's just jump quickly to Matthew 28, and let's take the Great Commission as we know it from verse 18. Matthew 28, 18. Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. So he's laying the foundation for what he's going to ask us to do. He said, I have everything that you need in heaven and on earth. Verse 19 says, go ye therefore. Are you seeing the same go? Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Verse 20. Teaching them, you see, this is why church must be, because you cannot teach random people running around, you have to gather them. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. This verse, this particular verse 20, really disturbs me a lot. And the reason why it disturbs me is because Jesus attaches a promise to what he's asking us to do. He says, go, win the people, baptize them, and teach them. Then he says, I am with you always. You know, when you stop sharing the gospel, the presence also leaves you. The presence. His presence is attached. So you can see that a church that was previously evangelistic would have had his presence there. And as the spirit of evangelism declines, his presence also declines. A lot of what we are doing in our churches is entertainment. Hey. Please don't get annoyed yet. It's entertainment. Christian entertainment is not his presence. It's possible to enjoy. You see, music is made as food for the soul. So whatever music it is, you know, it doesn't necessarily mean that he's there. How do you know somebody is present? How do you know? There are three things that show a person's presence. The first one is his aura. Forgive me for using the word aura. It sounds a little spooky. But if you are in your house alone, there's nobody there with you, and then somebody comes in silently, you didn't hear a sound, but you just know somebody's around, and you even turn. That's the aura. That's the aura. Yeah, that's the aura. So how do you know somebody's presence? You just feel the aura. And sometimes you may look back in your life and you can see that there were times when you were aware of a certain presence. But when was the last time you felt that presence? When was the last time during your quiet time there was some presence?
Wow.
Are you there?
Yeah.
A sign that, because he said, I am with you. If he's with us, that's one of the main signs that we'll see. Amen. The second thing that will happen when he's with us is that we'll hear his voice. And as we evangelize, you see, as you go out sharing, talking about him with people, you'll hear him. Sometimes he's even telling you who to speak to. Go and talk to this person. Go and share with that person. Don't pass here, pass there. Are you in the house? You know, so as I look at the scripture, at times I'm a little jittery because I wonder whether his presence is still around or not. Hey, are you in the church? You know, for those of us who are in what was called Lighthouse, we used to evangelize a whole lot. It was the main thing upon which the church was built. And you could be an usher, but there was once a month a serious outreach. Minimum once a month. You could be what? A chorister. Once a month. Minimum. You had to have and win souls and bring them to the church. Yes, you are singing. It was our reason for being, no matter what you did. My question now, I mean, I thank God there are other churches here. I don't know what goes on in your church, but I'm just asking for those of you who belong here. What is the purpose? What's the purpose? Yeah? What's the purpose for which we are together? What are we doing? You see? What are we doing? No wonder the choristers are always quarreling. You have time to quarrel about why isn't the sister so fine? So why is the person singing the sorrow? The sorrow. Are you in the house? And I want to just show you something to show you that some of those things, in fact, many of those things are because we haven't gone. But before I go there, let's look at one more scripture. Is it not scripture that will support scripture that will show? So let's go to Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. All these are the last words of Jesus. The last words of anybody are very serious. How much more the last words of Jesus? Those are the words that are on your heart as you go. And as he was about to leave his disciples and go up to heaven forever, this was what he had to say to them. He said, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the world. This is one of the most profound scriptures in the Bible. Say, you shall receive power. So the truth of the matter is that you have the power. You have the power. But many of us are behaving like ECG. So you have power. When you look at the cable, I mean, you see the cables going. There's some cables out there. You cannot see the power. If you like, go and touch and see. And that was Jesus' plan, that you have the power. So when you go and you decide that, let me go and let me start, you will suddenly see that you have power. But the reason why you have not seen that you have power is because maybe you have not gone. Because as you go, why was the power coming upon you? He was coming so that you'll be a witness. So when you have not witnessed, you may not see the power. You may not see the power. If you like, let's go and touch that power cable. As we are here, it doesn't look powerful. Tell your neighbor, look, I may not look powerful here. But if you joke, if you joke with me, you discover that I'm powerful. Because that's what Jesus told us. Insofar as you have the Holy Ghost in you. And then he even defined where to go nearby, then your area, then to another people a little further, then to as far as you can go. So anywhere and everywhere. I'm saying all this to establish the fact that the going is a must, And sometimes the question comes, where should I go? And the answer is, as according to the scripture, anywhere. Anywhere, because wherever you go is either Jerusalem, that's where you are, or is Judea, which is maybe which town is nearest us here, or Yoko, or yes, or Samaria, maybe that one is where Krakai, okay, or the uttermost parts of the earth. So wherever you have decided to go and do your evangelism, tonight we'll talk about some different kinds of, you know, evangelism. I was going to talk about that this morning, but somehow the Spirit of God was not letting me go there. It rather led me to something else. Now, it is when the first church fell into some trouble over the scripture. That was when, for the first time, they saw problems. This was a church when the pastor preaches, 3,000 people are added to the church. Pastor, when you preach, how many people are added to your church? Hey, I am struggling with that scripture before the Lord. That, Lord, you said that you like, look, you say you don't have favorites. Peter, when he preached, you gave him 3,000 people. Then you say you love me like you love Peter. How come I'm not seeing it? Hey, are you there? They went on, next preaching, 5,000. Please ask your neighbor, are we talking about the same Bible and the same? They were adding to the church. But at a point, Jesus was not so happy with them. The Lord was not so happy because they were too happy on their own together. In other words, what is happening to us is what was happening to them. They used to meet every day. We'll come to this, my Rev's house, then we'll eat. We're coming to your house. What do you give us to eat? Ampesi, you give us ampesi. So we are going to his house on Monday. We're eating and busy there. Then we go together to Rev's house. And then, please, what will you give us? He says, banku and tilapia. Then we keep. So that's all that they were doing. They were just enjoying themselves. I mean, they come together. The Bible says, breaking bread, visiting from house to house. I mean, life was good. By Acts chapter 4, they even began to share their possessions, because I cannot be talking to you and you have a need and I won't do anything about it. And one guy got up and he decided, let me sell my land, and he brought the proceeds. Please, just sort out people's problems. School fees cannot be a problem when we are together. I mean, rent cannot be a problem. I mean, they were a happy church, but God had a problem, because it was time to take the gospel from Jerusalem, from Judea, to Samaria and the uttermost parts of the earth, and they were not moving. They were not moving. They were not organized, but they were organizing food. So, because they didn't go, problems began to come. Acts chapter 5. The first problem. Acts chapter 5. The first problem that happened in the church. A certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. And Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Whilst it remained, was it not thine own? I mean, you didn't have to sell it and come and tell lies. After it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. The church was not going where they were supposed to go. And so what happens to churches that do not go is that instead of looking outward and going outward, they look inward. And when we look inward, things begin to happen. So Ananias looked inward and found out that a certain man, the leaders are very happy with him, because he sold some land and he brought them the proceeds. I mean, every church, there are issues. Are you in the house? There are issues. The average age in my church, average will be what? 23. Your juice is what? That you people who are here, how old are you? 23, 23, 27. You are an outlier. 22. The average age is about 22, 23. What are their problems? I don't have money to pay my fees, masturbation, fornication. It's a certain category of problems that we have, you know. So if somebody comes to solve it, I'll be very grateful. I'll be very grateful. Last year, because of COVID, they vacated, they went home before most people paid their second term's fees. Then they were home, and then they came back to a new academic year. So now people had arrears from last year, plus this year, and they are sitting down. The money is not there. And you know, various things. So if somebody had come and said, I've sold my land, Kumasi lands 200,000, 400,000, I've brought it. Oh, I would like you, because I call this one, G5,000, no go and pay. This one to the 3,000. This one, oh, we will sort our problems. So Ananias was watching, and he was looking inside, and he said, these people have become popular. And he called his wife and said, let's go and do some. But you see, the fact that somebody is doing some doesn't mean that you should also do. He did not have that grace upon his life. So when he saw the land, he saw them and said, please, so we cannot give all this to the church, oh, like some people and their type. We cannot give all this to the church. Hey. So they remove some percentage. Instead of bringing 1/10, they are bringing 1/6. And as soon as he arrived, you see, they also lived with a very strong presence of the Holy Spirit. And they said, look, what have you done? When it was for you, was it not yours? Why did you lie? Right there before their eyes was the first death in the house. Because the penalty for what he had done, and Ananias, hearing these words, fell down, gave up the ghost. And great fear, for the first time since Jesus left, fear entered the church. Fear entered the church. Today we have churches full of fearful people. Afraid of the grandmother in the village. Afraid of the auntie in the next town. Afraid of who? Afraid of the boss. They're afraid of everything, including their own shadow. Yeah. The reason is that they are looking inside. They're looking inside. There was no fear in this church. Fear has now come. The story goes on. I'm sure you know the story. After Ananias, Sapphira too came. Hey, wife, please, oh, we are one flesh, not one spirit. Oh, Baba, come and say the truth. She didn't say the truth. So she too, how the husband left. In fact, the people who had gone to bury her husband were just coming back, and Peter said, the feet of those who just went to bury your husband, they have just arrived. They will carry you also. There are some deaths that happen because we're in the wrong place at the wrong time. There are some deaths that happen because we are not doing what God asked us to do. Are you in the church? Yeah. I'm talking about the going and how important the going is. Here they were. They had gone to their area. It was time to move, and they didn't go. And now things began to happen in the church. Acts chapter 6. The problems have not ended. In Acts chapter 6, the Bible says, in those days, when the number of disciples was multiplied, you see now the church was large, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Are you there? What was happening? Because they were sitting in one place, they began to compare. Those of us from here, we are from this town. Those of us from here, we are from another town. When you come in, you are sharing the thing among the widows. You give all to these women here, and those here, the widows, you don't give them some. There are some problems, we only see it when we are idle. Am I talking to some people in the church? I said there are some problems that we can only see when we are idle. When we are working hard, we don't have time. I mean, as I've arrived here this morning, normally when I see these children, my question will be, have you eaten? I haven't asked them any question this morning. I haven't asked. We are too busy. We are too busy. Are you in the house? The only person I saw represents the house. I said, I'm looking at your eyes. I have not slept. Say, yes, I have not slept. Are you in the church? Otherwise, I don't know what has happened with them because we are busy. But when you are in there, that's where you feel everything. Have you not noticed when you are not well? It's when you sit down that you feel everything. You can keep moving, doing things, but when you sit, my here, my in, memo. Meanwhile, the thing was there all this time, but you were busy. You didn't feel it. That's exactly how. Remember that the church is a body. So we too, when we are not doing what we should do, we suddenly begin to feel things. They may not even have noticed that issue. But now that the church was a prosperous, happy church, a full church, multiplied the number, a church that any of us pastors would love to have, they now suddenly began to discover that you have been feeding the Hebrews and leaving the Greeks. Am I talking to some people in the house? Yeah. Because of where pastor is from, they only like the people who are from his village. The rest of us, they don't like us. That's what was happening in the church. And they said that in the daily ministration, these people were neglected. Let's continue. Verse 2. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples to them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. They were establishing something which is good for us. Let's pause at verse 2 for a moment. And they were saying that, okay, the problem that you have brought is true, it is a problem. But we can't leave the word of God to go and sort out this issue. Some of us, the reason why our prayer lives have gone down is because we are serving tables. Yeah, we're serving tables. You are a man of God. God has called you to share, to serve him and to, you know, do something in the church. But now, you are serving tables. It's a temptation. It always happens. Some of us have made ourselves into funeral contractors. Every funeral we have to go. And we say, if we don't go, the people will be annoyed. I noticed the room has become very silent. But the truth of the matter is that if you follow every funeral, I don't know how you do your funerals here in Cofidral, but where I am, if you follow every funeral, it's not just every day. When Kumasi, there are about 5 meetings you have to go. First, when the person dies, you must land in the house of your member to sympathize. Then 1 week will be done. You must arrive. Then, after the 1 week, they will tell you the funeral date. Then you go to the funeral. In the morning, they are burying. Then you go to the funeral in the afternoon. We are collecting donations and greeting. Then, if you are, Sunday, they understand you are in the church. Then, if you are not lucky, 40 days will come and add. So, for every funeral that is there, you have no less than 4 meetings to go. Most at the weekend. If you don't take care, you will never pray because when you come back, you are exhausted. Hey, the church has become quiet. Yeah. And so we are trying to become pastors of the dead instead of pastors of the living. Pastor, are you saying that when your member has lost somebody, I'm not saying you shouldn't go. I'm saying you should choose what you go to. You cannot leave the word of God and serve tables. You cannot. Yeah. Tell your member, I'll be there at this particular time. And that's it. Pastor, your people will be very annoyed. No, other people are able to set their culture. How come the church cannot set its culture? Set your culture. And then organize people to go. Yay. Are you tensions? Yeah. Are you there or you are troubled? Yeah. If the person is in the church, and you have done what you are supposed to do, and the church has small groups, organize the small group to go to the other meetings. They should go to the other meetings, please. Please, you are a man of God. You are a woman of God. You need time before the Lord. By the time you go and come, you are finished. And because of that, your prayer from Saturday to Sunday, forget the all night, it is not happening. Even God will not hear from you. Wake up, wait, 6 o'clock, exhausted. Let me just look for God. Hey, I know that you don't enjoy what I'm saying, but it's just true. You see, it's just true. Because when your church gets to a certain size, the funerals also get to a certain size. Yeah. One day I counted the funerals in my church, not of church members, of parents. Between the months of January and April, 19 funerals. Please multiply by 4. Hey, 19 times 4. Marco Scuda. Are you here? Before you are aware, you are going to some 80 something meetings. All over dead people. When are you going to look after the living ones? Yay. Are you there? Find some elders. Older people are very conscious of the grave. They'll do the job well for you. Oh, yes. Give them that honor to go and represent you so that you only go once. I don't even know why I got into this. It's not in my notes. Hey, are you in the house? Yeah. If not, you will go from funeral to funeral to funeral. Reverend said, say amen. These days, what the new funeral contractor? When I'm looking for him on Saturday morning, he's on his way somewhere. It's true. It's true. All the time, you're always tired. Hey, please, let's continue so that you don't run me out of Kofredwa. Acts chapter 6 and verse 3. So now they were bringing a solution. Wherefore, brethren, look you out among you, 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. So they now decided that let's get some other people who will handle. You see what I'm telling you about the others? Yes. Verse 4. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer. There's a certain prayer life you can't have when you go chasing certain things. And to the ministry of the word. So they didn't just find anybody. They found capable, godly men to handle the issue. Verse 5. And the saying pleased the whole multitude. And they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. Now, I want us to just focus on just one of these men, the one called Philip. Are you in the house? The Lord had been fighting with these people. He was trying to get them to go and they were not going. And because they were not going to go and share the gospel elsewhere, the Lord then allowed a persecution to enter into the church. Some of the things that are happening in your life are happening because if they were not there, you wouldn't do what God wants you to do. I look at some of the very prayerful women in my church, and they are praying because they don't have a husband, or they have a husband who's giving them problems, or they have a husband. It's either for a husband to come or for the husband to go. It's one. It's somewhere. And it drives them to pray. Because God realizes that you, the way that you are, if I didn't give you this problem, there'll be no prayer at all. Hey. And so the Lord realized that these people, if I leave them here, the gospel will stay in Jerusalem. It won't go anywhere else. Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. You know, my message today is very, very short, but I think that, yeah, because Acts chapter 8. Saul was consenting unto his death. This is the death of Stephen. So the first one of those men had already died. And it was because of the persecution. And at that time, there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Do you remember Acts 1:8? And you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria. So they had not gone anywhere. They were just in Jerusalem. So this persecution now came and scattered them. And because of the scattering, they now had to get into Judea and Samaria. Hallelujah. Let's see what's happening in verse 2. I believe verse 2 is where they buried this man. Let's go there and see. Okay, devout men carried and they buried Stephen. Verse 3. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hauling men and women, committed them to prison. Verse 4. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad, can you see what they were doing? Went everywhere. Doing what? I said they went everywhere doing what? Preaching the word. They had been sitting in Jerusalem, and they had been quarreling over how many ladles of rice water were being given to the Hebrew widows compared to the Greek widows. And they were fighting about little things, just like our churches today. I mean, when you hear what we are fighting about in the church, it's wonderful and frightening and amazing. Hey, Yamobo. And so the Lord allowed a mighty persecution to arise. And when the persecution came, they scattered. And as they scattered, they now went to the Judea they were supposed to go, and the Samaria they were supposed to go. And I'm talking to somebody who God sent somewhere, and you didn't go. You better start finding your way. Yeah. When God sends you somewhere, just go. Just go. Don't give the excuses. Oh, you remember Esther last night? Don't give the excuses. Some of you have been sent to places, the place looks as if there's nothing there. Let me tell you, never say that. You are there. That's right. I say, you are there. If you are there, that's somebody who is there. Yeah. I remember when we arrived in Tamale, there was nothing there. Today, Tamale is a very beautiful city, but at that time, the only thing that was there was red dust, a lot of it. Red dust. They were now trying to work on the roads. Are you in the house? But decide that you have come. That's somebody. So don't go and say, in this place that they have sent me, there's nothing there. How can there be nothing? Are you nothing? Ask your neighbor, is your name nothing? When you land there, somebody has come. Remember, that's a powerful person carrying the power of the Holy Spirit. Only that maybe you've not deployed it yet. Hey, let's observe what is going on. This is my favorite verse. Then Philip. Hey. I don't know whether my father knew that I like this scripture. Because when he consecrated me, he gave me the name Philippi. And he named me after Philip. Yeah. Yeah. And because when I'm going for a crusade, this is my scripture. Yeah, from Acts 8:5. The Bible and downwards. Then Philip. Do you remember Philip in Acts chapter 6? You remember him as one of the guys there. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ. He was no longer counting ladles of one cocoa, two cocoa, one, two, one, two. The man was, for as long as he was in the Jerusalem church, he was a sharer of bread, he was a sharer of soap, he was a sharer of soup, he was a sorting out of quarrels. Then he went to Acts 8. When he got there in Samaria, he now preached Christ. Let's look at verse 6. You will not believe it. Verse 6. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake. Have you ever gone to a place, you said, these people, they will not hear what I'm saying. They will not believe me. I remember going to a certain village on the Salaga Road and entering the place, and we went to just go and have a nice small crusade. When I called the altar call, I saw somebody there. I'd lived in the Lord long enough to know the heart an imam wears. I was looking, I said, ah. But when we came to the town and went to greet the chief, I saw the imam in the mosque with the small boys, teaching them, you know, it was their month, so he was teaching them the Quran. What's he doing here? When I gave the altar call, there was the imam with his hand up. Hey! And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. There you are, a miracle worker sitting on the power of the Holy Spirit. But in the day that you get up and say, I'm gonna go where, Pastor? Go anywhere. Yeah, so long as it is somewhere, anywhere. For somebody, it's just down your road. For somebody, it's your workplace. This man went. The people answered him. Look at verse 7. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them. This man who was sharing rice water, this man who was sharing soap, this man who was sharing soup, this man who were telling two old ladies, don't quarrel, not knowing the scripture is true, and these signs shall follow them that believe. There are signs waiting to follow you. But for you to see the signs, you have to go. And it's as you start going that the signs will start following. Hallelujah. Amen. This is about Philip. Unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many, not even a few, came out of many. And many taken with palsies. The palsies is kind of paralysis. They were lame and they were healed. Not knowing that there was a power. Acts 8:8, my favorite. These are my scriptures when I'm going to pray for and I'm going to crusade. And there was great joy in the city. Let me tell you, for as long as he remained in Jerusalem, he was just a sharer of cocoa, a counter of things, a sorter of things, a server of tables. But in the day that he rose up to go, it was an entire city that was shaken. It was an entire city that was blessed. People gave their lives to Christ. Miracles happened. Child of God, I want to ask you, what are you doing as you sit in the church, quarreling with your neighbor about the color of the lipstick, about the kind of shoe that is worn, about who did and who didn't did, about who went and who didn't go, about what, which song are we going to sing? Hey, I don't like the English ones, I like the tree ones, I don't like that country, I like that grapevine tree, and I don't want this. Listen, shut your mouth, go and look for somebody, start preaching the gospel, and as you start to preach, the signs and the wonders will follow you. Hallelujah. Philip went. You know, at times I wonder how many of us are Philips sitting in the church doing nothing. In the day that you go, I like to tell the story of a young man in my church who he'd been in the church for years. He started as a student, he grew until he's working. And I would try to get this young man to do something in church. And he'd always laugh and say, oh, mommy, then he'll laugh. He wouldn't do. And I realized he was afraid of human beings. But one day, he heard a message. It was our first Art of Evangelism conference. This young man came to me and said, I'm also going to go and do some. You see, this young man, I've known him since he was younger. He's a fanti, but he's lived in Accra till he behaves like a girl. So I call him a girl man. And he quarrels just like a girl. Oh, please. Oh, guys, forgive me. Wabio. We shouldn't lie. We quarrel. It's normal. Wabio. It's like that. But it's true. Dajena kai. Wabio. It's like that. It's just how we are. Are you in the house? And so he used to cry. And I used to tell him that you quarrel like a girl woman. Not even a man, but a girl woman. But this boy, got up and said, I'm also going to do the crusader. When he said it, I won't lie. Please don't tell him, but I didn't believe. Because for years, I've been chasing him. Go and have a little bus. He wouldn't do. But I watched as this boy went down to a market not so far from us on a Friday night. He went with his ushers. He's the chief usher. He went with them. And I remember watching him preaching. And I began to cry. Because as I watched him, I picked my iPad. I went to my husband. I said, look, that's Tim's preaching. Can you believe it? Can you believe it? Fire is what? Preaching is what? Anointing is what? Conviction is what? Hey! And as I watched all the groups of people standing, I watched him give the altar call. And as he gave the altar call, children, grown-ups, hands up like that, came forward, gave their lives to Christ. After the program, I asked, how many souls gave their lives to Christ? 75. Wow. 75. Who can tell what God will do if you go? Who can tell what God will do if you will trust? If you will walk away from some of the issues in church. Amen. I love the story of Philip because Philip was not one of the great apostles as we know him. He was one of those they called to go and share soup so that the quarreling will stop. But when he went, not knowing that there were mighty things in his bones, I'm speaking to some Philips today. If only you rise up and go. I said, if only you will rise up and go, God will surprise you. I said, God will surprise you. Hallelujah. God will surprise you. Look at Philip. Look at Philip. He didn't stop there. I have to show you. The same man. Cecilia, what any blue man? Oh, Lord Jesus. The same Acts chapter 8. Let's go to verse 26. Acts 8, 26. Philip had learned something. Now he was not going to sit down. And the angel of the Lord, let me see what 25 says. Take me to 8:25, please. Okay. When they are testified and preached the word of God, return to you. Okay. 20, continue, 26. And the angel of the Lord spoke unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. It's a very interesting scripture. This man has just had a wonderful crusade. We are in the same chapter. But you see, now he has learned to go. There are some of us, after one victory, we perched there. We didn't go again. One crusade you did that was successful, you have not gone again. One breakfast meeting you did that was powerful, you have not gone again. One meeting one-on-one you have done, you've not gone again. But this guy had an angelic visitation. Remember I shared with you that scripture, Acts 28:20, that lo, I am with you always. You see, now that he's going, he's beginning to have some visitations. Now angels are visiting him. Could it be that the angels have not come to you yet because you have not gone? Now suddenly he was relevant. The angel came with an instruction. Arise and go. And you see where they are sending him doesn't look good. Remember, they ran away from Jerusalem. They are asking him to go past Jerusalem to Gaza, to a desert. Ask your neighbor, who in his right senses go to a desert? But when God is sending you, go. I said, but when what? God is sending you, go. If God is sending you to a place that looks like there's nothing there, that's his place. That's why. Was it not Isaac who wanted to leave because of famine? And God said, be here. Yeah, he gave him his harvest right there. It's a mistake to look at a place and say, I won't go. Philip there, he had learned to go, so he went. Let's continue. 27. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority, under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship. He was returning and was sitting in his chariot reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, now he's hearing God, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him. Now wait, you see, we read these scriptures and they look so straightforward and so nice. But I want you to picture it. You are being sent to a place you don't want to go. I don't know where around here you wouldn't want to go, but choose somewhere. And as he went, he was told that there's a big man riding in his Lamborghini Countach, or his Rolls Royce, or his Land Cruiser. Go and approach him. Most of us will say that we can't go. Ah, we are very quiet, though. But it's true. Please ask your neighbor, if God sends you that you should go and talk to somebody who is riding in his you won't go. You won't go. You would rather go to the smaller people walking on their feet. You feel a little safer. Yeah. You say, oh, the other one, no, I didn't hear well. It was not God. Oh, this man. He will say he will not stop. He will say, I'm a thief. He will not stop his car. But Philip went. And when he ran towards him, the Bible says he heard the man reading from Isaiah and he asked him, understandest thou what thou readest? Do you understand what you are reading? Philip was now, you know, the best sharing of the gospel that can ever happen to you is the one that God has personally directed you. Go and talk to this person. He knew that God had sent him to go there. And the man said, how can I? Except some man should guide me. Now the Bible says he now invited Philip. Join me in my GMC. Join me in my cruiser. Join me in my vehicle. Hey, maybe Philip had never sat in Zam before. When you start to preach the gospel, you will go to some places you have never ever. The preaching of the gospel. I said it will take you to places you have never dreamt about. Wow. Hallelujah. Continue, 32. Then it talks about the place of the scripture where he was reading. Please continue. 33, 34. Then the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. 36. Let's continue. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, there is water. What hinders me to be baptized? 37. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went both down unto the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. But listen to something. This man who had been sharing food a few weeks ago, cocoa and bread, or cocoa and kose, this man who had now gone and experienced a crusade, after that, he came and spoke to an individual. Those who know such things say that this man, this Ethiopian, was the one who brought the gospel into the continent of Africa, into Ethiopia. And Ethiopia is known as the first place that Christianity landed. He never knew. He had now sent the gospel into Africa. Who can tell what God will do if you go? I said, rice water, sharer. Soap, sharer. God did great things with him. He began to go. And as he went, things began to happen. He affected more people than he knew. As he was going there, he thought he was going to talk to one individual. Yeah. But this man, this eunuch, he was a mighty man in Ethiopia. And that's how the gospel entered an entire continent. Sure, there are people waiting for you somewhere. I said, there are people waiting for you somewhere. Lady, oh, gentleman, oh. Oh, me, I'm a lady. They say women don't preach. You know, Settle it. Look for the women who preach in the gospel, in the Bible. And I often tell people, I say, look, I would rather preach the gospel and get to heaven, and Jesus will knock my head. I didn't call you, but he will receive me because souls have been. Than get there, and there were some souls I should have won, and I didn't do it because I said that I'm a lady. I'm just answering somebody's lady question. Are you in the house? Share the gospel. This afternoon, I want us to end the session by praying. Let us pray. I want you to rise to your feet. And I want you to ask God, where you are standing right now, is that where you should be? What you are doing in his house right now, is that what you should do? Is there something else he has for you? I want you to pray. Keep Philip in front of your mind and begin to pray. Maybe you are a pastor. Hold on for me a minute. And when you are a pastor, sometimes you feel that, oh, I'm already doing it. But I need you to understand that with God, we can never be so sure. Because sometimes, right from the church that you are, he's sending you somewhere else to do more. I mean, we watch Bishop Doug with a church in Accra, traveling the world, preaching the gospel everywhere. God alone knows where he's sending you to. What else there is in addition to what you have? This morning or this afternoon, I want you to just begin to pray. Begin to talk to God, because he has a plan. Yeah, he has a plan for you. And you need to be sure. You need to be sure. You need to be sure. Talk to the Lord. Talk to the Lord this morning. Talk to the Lord this morning. Mangolo brosi masha. Talk to the Lord this morning. I believe that the Lord is going to place in your heart something, a desire to know your Jerusalem, your Judea, your Samaria, or your uttermost parts of the world. Continue to pray this afternoon. Oh, help us to hear you this afternoon. Help us to hear you this afternoon, Lord. Mando do brosi mashanda la baha. Rima saiki toro bosi na la mama. Manda la baba la baba la baba. Mekanda la baba la baba. Ribra sanda la baba. Shima taiki basanda. Ya 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 ya. Mendo lo bosi matanda la maha. Rinda la masaka taya. Yende le bebe. Raba baba baha. Raba baba baha. Raba baba baha. Makori anda la baba ha, mandalo brosi matanda la baba ha. Oya dele bebe, mikata yanda la baba. Oya kata ya masanda la baba. Rima taba baba ha, yando la baba da baba da baba da baba. Rima sanda la maha, yanda la basandi. Oh yes, oh yes, oh yes, oh yes. Mandalo brosi mashanda. Beke bebe, mandala basanda. Oh, a fire is being lit in our spirits. A burning fire is being lit in our spirits this morning. Mako masende lebe ya. A burning fire. A burning fire. A burning fire. Rima sandala baba. Ya baba baba ba. Yeka masandala baba. Oh, yandala brasama shandala baba. Oh, yes. Oh yes, oh yes, oh yes. Make a man stand on a man. Brenda le bebe, mashanda la baha. Make a mama, yeka man stand on a baha. Oh, continue to pray, continue to pray, because a fire is being lit in your spirit. A fire is being lit in your spirit. A fire is being lit in your spirit. Mashama sanda, make a baba. Benda la brasa masha, rebebe, makabra samasha, riba baba ba, yanda la basende lebe, rama mama maha, manda la baba mama ha, ayaka ya 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 ha, ya 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 ha, ebebe, manda la baba mama ha, rima sanda lo boboy ha, riba bada bada ha. Alamasaki. Oh yes. Oh yes. Oh yes. Oh yes. Oh yes. Oh yes. Mandala Mamaha. Oh yes. Lord, we need your spirit this afternoon. We need your spirit. Stir it in us, Lord. Stir it in us, Lord. Stir it in us. Stir it in us, Lord. Oh yes. Mandala Bana. Mashakataya Baba. Mama Baha. Makabra Samashanda. Yendele bebe bebe. Mandala Baha. Oh yes. Oh yes. This afternoon, ask the Lord to stir it up again. 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 I see the stirring of a fire this morning, this afternoon, a new fire that is being lit in your spirit. Makabra Samataya is being lit in your spirit. A fresh fire. Makoba Sande, Rima Maha, Yandola Brosima Shanda, a fresh fire. Makabra Samataya, a fresh fire. A fresh fire. Mashanda Lababaha. Meka Matayada. Hallelujah. Before we just end this short prayer time, I want you to ask the Lord and say, Lord, that spirit, the spirit that Philip had, I want some. The spirit that Philip had, I want some. I want what was on Philip to come upon my life. Somebody who could just get to a place and influence everything that is going there. Somebody, who, whether it is one person or a lot of people, he was able to reach them. You want to say, Lord, this afternoon is the spirit of Philip that I want. Just lift up your voice and say, Lord, let that spirit come upon me. Let that anointing come upon me. That whether it is a whole town, whether it is an individual, whether it is a continent, whether it is whatever, Lord, that I'll hear your voice and hear you closely, and I'll hear you clearly, and I will obey. Philip had a strong spirit to obey, and he kept on, and he kept on. I want to say, Lord, I want that spirit. I want that spirit. I want that spirit. Mandola brosi masha, meka baba baba, meka brasanda la baba, mendele bebe bebe, maka baba. Oh yes, somebody, a renewal is entering into your ministry. A renewal is entering into your ministry. A renewal is entering into your ministry. Mandola boki masa, you came asking. You have been asking God, what's next? What's next? You've been asking the Lord, what next? But right now, he's answering you, and he's placing a fire back into your spirit, and he's showing you the what next. Just receive it this afternoon. Just receive it this afternoon. Makababaha, the ability to hear him clearly. Mashakabra, after this conference, you will hear him clearly. You will know exactly where to go, exactly what to do, just one step at a time. But as you go, when you turn back, you will be amazed at the fruit. You'll be amazed. Philip never knew that when he spoke to the Ethiopian eunuch, that he was bringing the light of Jesus into an entire continent. He never knew, but so it was. And he led him to Christ and baptized him. And the man continued on his way and brought Christianity to his queen and to his people. Lift your voice. Lift your voice. Shamamaha, Yakababasa, a fresh wind and a fresh fire. Ana la masaha. Ye kemataya baha. Ye masondo la babo. Riba babaha. Ye kamasanda la baha. Ye matebebe. Riba babaha. Ya kamasanda la baha. Minda la baha. Minda la babaha. Ye kamamaha. Rebebe. Rima maha. Ye kebebebe. Mashanda la baha. Oh yes. Oh yes. Oh yes. Oh yes. Mikanda la baba la baba. Mendele bebe, raba baba maha, yendele bebe bebe, mashanda la baha. Oh, the Lord is at work. Mi shanda la brosi mataya, yeka mamaha, imatanda la baba ho, ayaba baba maha, rima sanda la baya. Oh yes, Lord. Mashai kiba Sunday. Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Oh, we give you praise. We give you praise. We give you praise. We give you praise. Father, we're grateful. We're grateful for the fresh wind coming upon us. We're grateful for the fresh fire. Somebody here, you used to be such a dynamic soul winner. It's been a long time since, but the Spirit is waking up again. It's waking up within you again. It's waking up within you stronger, purer, clearer to do more, to do something now. Just receive that freshness. Just receive that new dose, that new touch. Just receive it. Oh, yes. Makuma Sende. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, we give you praise, Lord. We give you praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. You don't need to wait until your back is against the wall before you begin to do things for the Lord. But even this afternoon, hear his voice, his still small voice, just speaking something into your ears. Just speaking something into your ears. Masha Matababa, Mikanda Labasanda, Rima Sonda Lebebea, Makaba Sanda Lababa, Meshanda Laba. Oh, anoint us, Lord. Grant us that desire to evangelize, to share about you. May we talk about you in season and out of season, oh God. May lives be changed wherever we go. May we not wait to be scattered. May we not wait for tragedy. May we not wait for certain things to happen, Lord. But may we go even now to wherever you've sent us. Forgive us for spending time on things that don't bear fruit. And help us to spend our time on what you have asked us to do. We give you praise. We give you thanks. In the mighty name of Jesus. And all the saints shall say, amen and amen.